Live from Buffalo Creek. Okay, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Esther chapter 5. The whole chapter, of course, I titled this one. I try to get catchy titles sometimes when I do an overview of a whole chapter. And this one I named The Happy Hangman. Because Haman was really happy at the thought that he was going to be exalted in the kingdom and that his nemesis, Mordecai, was going to be destroyed, exterminated. Now, we're going to get to later on in the chapter the means of execution, because our English Bible says that he built gallows. And when I think of gallows, I think of somebody being hung. But there's also an application, evidently in ancient times, where people were impaled rather than hung. And they were hung on a stick, basically, on a sharp stick. And some believe that was going to be the means of execution. But either way, Haman was really looking forward to the day that Mordecai and all the Jews were going to be destroyed. Well, our chapter opens up. It says, "Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was near, or that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto Esther, 'What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to half of the kingdom.'" Well, after Esther's courageous and noble decision to risk her life for the sake of her people, we find the drama continuing to unfold. If you recall, in chapter 4, she had come to the place after Mordecai had instructed her about the severity and what was coming. She came to that place where she literally surrendered everything and said, "If I perish, I perish." And then she asked the people, the Jews, to begin to fast and to pray. So after 3 days of fasting and prayer, she presents herself before the Persian monarch, who holds out his scepter and grants her a hearing for her petition. And she asks, as we go on through the chapter, I'm just giving you an overview of the entire chapter, and then we're going to go verse by verse. In this chapter, she asks to entertain the king and his second in command, his prime minister, Haman, that she was going to host a feast for both of them. And then she also asked that another feast be prepared for the following day. And both of those requests were graciously granted. After Haman left that first feast, he had a great feeling of self-importance and satisfaction. We'll see this later on. And until he sees his nemesis, Mordecai, who, even though the sentence of death had been set, he still would not bow the knee to this descendant of Amalek. And Haman complains to his wife, about Mordecai, and she recommends that a gallows be built for Mordecai, upon which he would be impaled or hanged the following day. You know, it's a sick thing when people take delight in the sufferings of others. And that really delighted Haman, that his wife came. What a great, how would you like that, your wife? Why don't you just kill him? Erect a gallows so everybody can see how much you hate him and have him publicly executed. Oh, what a great idea. You know, it excited the guy. And what's really amazing is that Haman doesn't know it, but the stage is being set by the hand of God for that proud man's downfall, in which he literally hangs himself by his own hatred and bitterness. Now, in verses 1 and 2, and this is what we'll cover today, we find Esther's careful approach. After 3 days of prayer and fasting, Esther prepares to go to the king unbidden, which again, this was very dangerous. I mean, think about how capricious the Persian kings were, how capricious Ahasuerus was. He had a big drunken feast and got so inebriated and so out of control that he asked his queen to come and parade herself, and I think there was something immoral about it, before all of the top dogs in the kingdom, and she wouldn't do it, and he deposed her. He got rid of her. Well, that was known publicly, that this guy was a tyrant. So there was a very good chance, humanly speaking, that if Esther would come unbidden, she would be executed. A most remarkable thing had already happened in Esther's life, though. She had already died to self, leaving herself entirely in the hand of God to do with her as he saw fit. She literally was presenting her body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which was, she reckoned, her reasonable service. And I believe that we, as believers, will have little success in spiritual service unless we daily put our self-will on the cross of denial and put Christ as the one reigning upon the rightful throne of our affections. A lot of times God brings circumstances into our lives. We don't know why, but we've got to come to that place where we believe that He does all things well, that He makes no mistakes, that He is a sovereign God, and we would live such a fruitful, more peaceful life if every day we just said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I'm going to follow your way, your will, your word. I'm putting my desires aside to follow you. And that's what she did. Now, the best way to prepare for any monumental task is to seek the Lord in prayer and fasting beforehand. I don't know, but I believe that Esther's commitment to commune with God to seek His face afresh and anew in prayer and fasting, I believe it probably had a remarkable effect upon her countenance. On the coming fresh from communion with God. If you remember when Moses was on Mount Sinai, when he came down, his face was so radiant, he had to put a veil on to talk to the people. It could be that Esther's face shone with radiance, and she carried herself with a sense of grace and peace of mind. And when the king was seeking a queen, he had the women bathe for several months for the purpose of purification. I believe that whenever we set out to serve the Lord, we need to go in direct communion with Him. Bathe ourselves in communion with God in order to have strength for the task at hand. Esther had spent time in the secret place of the Most High, basking in the Lord of glory. So I believe her face was illuminated and giving her an irresistible charm as she stood before King Ahasuerus. Now, something else I noticed from this, she put off the sackcloth and she put on the royal apparel. That tells me that Esther was no fool. She knew it was inappropriate to approach the king with sackcloth, so she put on her royal apparel. She was going to appear before her husband with the best possible advantage. H.D. Kennedy said this, "Neither courtesy, politeness, manners, nor dress make one pious or humble, but all such, if rightly used, set off piety and humility to good advantage with the people of the world. One who thinks of dress only is a mere weakling. Yet to disregard it too much is never wise. We should dress neatly and well, but never in a way that will attract more attention to our dress than to ourselves." Doubtless, when Esther stood before Ahasuerus, she was a happy combination of piety, manners, and custom, and each contributed toward her success. She put on her royal apparel. Now, I'm trying to think how much suspense that must have attended Esther's entrance. Her handlers, you know, in the harem, if you will, understood that she's going to do something that is way out of the ordinary for a woman in this ancient kingdom. Women just did not go unbidden. In fact, back then, a lot of times, men looked at women just as a piece of property to be used as they wished. I've said it all along, Christianity is what elevated women as set forth in the Word of God. But I believe that she had to have complete confidence in God, as well as complete control of her emotions and herself. God had given her the special grace of composure in the most difficult of circumstances. You know, that's a wonderful thing when you see people going through trials and see how God gives them composure, gives them grace to handle what is coming their way. And God had given her that kind of composure. And then I thought, how thankful I am that our King bids us come to His royal throne of grace And he always holds out the royal scepter so that we may enter. We need not fear his rejection if we're truly accepted in the Beloved. Esther's approach to the king was attended with reverence. And likewise, our approach to our king should be done with even more reverence and respect, especially in light of the free privileges that we have as the sons and daughters of God. We ought to come before him in reverence. The king grants Esther an entrance by holding out the golden scepter while sitting on his royal throne. Esther humbly bows and touches the scepter. And again we see how God had control of this heathen monarch. The truth of Proverbs 21:1 rings true again. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. The king's response to Esther's approach is further evidence that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men. Daniel 4 and verse 25. Favor was granted to her. Much in the same way that favor was granted to Joseph. Even though he had been sold into slavery, wrongly accused of a crime he didn't commit, thrown into prison, yet wherever he was, God showed him favor and exalted him. In every circumstance, providentially. It's a lot like Israel in Egypt. If you read Exodus 3:21, Exodus 11 verse 3, Exodus 12:36, when the plagues were raging upon the Egyptians, you find that the Israelites found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God still rules. He does help and strengthen his people in times of great difficulty. And it's a lesson you and I had better learn. Not just know it, but learn how to abide by it and practice it. Because I think that we're being ruled by heathens, by atheists, by people who hate God, hate His Word, hate the principles that He has set up for how creation ought to be acknowledged, how the home, the moral fabric of a society, how it should be structured and run. The heathen are trying to completely destroy that. And that they really want to destroy God's people. And may God help us to stand true and say with Esther, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to serve the Lord. We'll pick up verse 3 next week, God willing.